Mitch Brown, welcome to Full Story.
Thanks for having me on, though.
It's great to have you in the studio. I want to start by asking you, what was your initial gut reaction to the statement put out by the AFL Appeals Board in the Lance Collard case, saying that football is a hard game and that it's commonplace for players to use racist, sexist and homophobic language on the field?
I actually woke up in the morning and read those headlines and then delved into a bit more about it. And my gut reaction at the start was just this utter disappointment. And then it quickly turned into frustration and, I mean, that rage and anger. I've had a lot of that over my time, especially when you're trying to challenge something so rigid and embedded like these, harmful behaviours in sports like the AFL and NRL. And then I was like, most people, like, surely this is not right. You know, it was that sort of the statements or these reasons put out by the AFL Tribunal Appeals Board was that outdated. And I don't like the word outdated as well, because some of these reasons were never in date as well, but they were acceptable many, many years ago. But then I learned that this was the actual reasons and I was just like outraged.
In a piece for The Guardian, you wrote that there was something sickly satisfying about what the appeals board said. Can you explain that?
You know, when you're being trying, and I've been an outspoken advocate in this space for 6 months since coming out, but there has been many before me that have been crying out to put in a spotlight that this type of ideology, this type of values and behaviours do still exist. Sexism, racism and homophobia in sport, in particular hypermasculine sports like football. So to have it there in writing by somewhat a figure of leadership, as in a chairman or the people, the appeals board, to actually admit it in writing that it is commonplace and is it accepted time for time to have these behaviours, was sort of like, you know, well, thank you. Like, for many of people like myself and others and advocating for this space, I mean, sometimes you feel like you are being gaslit and you are being like, you know, oh, Mitch, there's no, it's so safe. It's so, there's no homophobia. It is safe for someone to come out. It's like, no, it's not. And now there's that kind of, you know, as we describe that moment of going, well, here it is.
The AFL leadership, including Andrew Dillon, the chief executive, they say that that's not the case. They've rejected that comment by the appeals board and criticised it. It's been 10 years or so since you were on the field, but I imagine you'd be having conversations with people still playing. In your view, are homophobic, sexist and racist comments commonplace still?
I think the AFL in a whole is a, you know, it's a picture of the wider society. And yes, of course, it is commonplace to hear these type of behaviours and slurs. Does that make it acceptable? No. You know, there's no exceptions like the AFL. So I've thought about this long and hard and I've looked at those reasons as well. And we can almost categorically agree, and it's been really wonderful to see so many new voices call this behaviour out, particularly men in football, which has been fantastic. And I do applaud that. But in saying that, if you look at each of these reasons given by the AFL Tribunal Appeals Board, and collectively we can all agree that they were unacceptable, if you look at them and then you start to dilute these behaviours, like, it's acceptable because if it's a tough game, like, he wasn't offended, this incident was as bad as the last incident. You start to dilute that into everyday occurrences, everyday allowances. We all still play into those. And that's, you know, some people might say that you're drawing a long bow there, Mitch. But, you know, those moments where, and I have been in them, and you're sitting at the pub with your mates and you think none of your mates are queer and there's a joke about, you know, a gay man, or, you know, that's the butt of the joke. And because no one that you think is gay is there, more often than not, even good people go, oh, it's okay. Like it's, you know, it's only a bit of a banter. It's only a bit of fun. No one's gay here. Blah, blah, blah. Johnny's a good bloke. But that is the kind of behavior that links and goes all the way up to these harmful behaviors that, you know, we saw outlined in the comments that we saw last week. So it is all kind of relatable to many of us. And, you know, when we talk about these harmful cultures that are embedded in sports like the AFL, they're not set by particular big moments like we saw last week with the outrage to these reasons. They are set in these everyday allowances of harmful behaviors, and they turn up in the most casual of settings. They're the ones that do pave the way for this harmful culture. And I believe that wholeheartedly. And this is speaking from someone that's played into those behaviors as well.
Mitch, I wonder, have you been contacted in the last week or so from players who were hurt or offended by the comment, even though the player that the alleged slur was directed at said they weren't? Have you been contacted by others?
I haven't been contacted by the players directly, but I will say it is a fact that, you know, even this whole tribunal case, even if it's alleged and it's not, or he said it or he didn't, bringing up these very topics around homophobia in sport and these slurs unearths more homophobia and more commentary around whether it is worth penalizing or not. And that in itself does so much harm for the game, so much harm for the queer community. So it does affect so much more than you think. And this obviously it's a homophobic slur, but it is just the example of disrespect, and disrespect harms everyone.
Mm. Mitch, you mentioned earlier that you were the first last year, about 7 months ago, first current or former player in the game's 100 plus year history to come out. How has your life changed since that first interview? And has it been difficult taking on a public profile, being asked by the media to speak on issues like this?
Yeah, I've got to be honest, it's been difficult. You know, of course I could have sailed off into the sunset and not keep voicing, I guess, my opinions or an important conversation around safety, inclusion and respect in sport. And at times it's been difficult because you do get challenged, and you don't get just challenged by people that want to defend their sacred game of AFL men's sport and all its glory and masculinity. But I do get challenged by within the queer community too. And it's sort of been a difficult balancing act of speaking my truth, my lived experience as a player.
Mm.
For a time there, I was the only player to speak out publicly. And then speaking on behalf of, I guess, this marginalized community as a whole, being able to feel safe to turn up as themselves. And it's a really hard balancing act. And I don't take the responsibility lightly. And it's hard sometimes. And I think I often reflect around the trailblazers and the people that have come before me that have paved the way to allow me to step out in some sort of comfort and to speak my truth, like Ian Roberts, like the AFLW players in my industry. And they did it even though it was still hard. And I take on that responsibility. I speak out even though I know it's still challenging, it's still hard, I still get a lot of hate. But I know ultimately it's important, because the way I see it is, you know, I'm a custodian in this space along with so many others, that anytime I can help to make, I guess, my industry, the AFL industry, this hyper-masculine sporting industry in the men's competition, a little bit safer for everyone to turn up as themselves, maybe it makes it a little bit easier for the next queer person. Maybe they're active and they're currently playing to come out and speak their truth.
So how much has this been a setback?
I think it's never going to be an easy ride, progress. We know that. History tells us that. You know, it's always to be expected to take one step forward, two steps back. But as we've already mentioned, it's like this, as sick as it's been, as for some traumatic as the last couple of weeks has been, it unifies, I guess, a movement, a cause that goes, you know what? This is worth trying for. This is worth progressing, and it's never going to be easy. And I do believe, because of the incidents of the AFL appeals board and the comments and the reasons, I think it has unified, and we've gathered more voices, and in particular voices that we haven't heard before. So I think one step backwards or two step backwards, but we're going to keep going forward, and we're going to see that in the coming years.
I do want to ask you about some of the other reasons that the board gave. They said that the original suspension was manifestly excessive, and they noted that not only Lance Collard's young age, but his Indigenous heritage and his difficult background in their decision, and said that a longer suspension could have ended his professional playing career. Are they important factors to be weighing up in a decision like this?
So I've thought about this one a lot, and in particular, I've worked and consulted and had a career in First Nations affairs and consulting, so I've done a lot of work. And in this particular factor, I think that these reasons, I mean, you know, I've spoken to a lot of my First Nations friends, and it's like they don't accept this behaviour, whether it's alleged or not. They don't accept harmful, unkind, disrespectful behaviour. And again, this is when there's some of these reasons around, okay, stereotyping and even age. And I noticed that one of these other reasons were because he was provoked, it was, you know, more acceptable for his response. So, well, again, making these long links with, you know, domestic violence and gender-based violence, just because someone wears a certain piece of clothing doesn't mean it's okay to then go and harm them. Mm. That's why these comments last week were so harmful. And I think that really laying them out there and separating, I think sometimes we can, and I've certainly been guilty of this, is, and we do this with sport in Australia, and sports like AFL, is like we fantasize them. We make them sort of unrealistic or, you know, out of the realm of normal society. So some of these behaviors are okay there in that space in the AFL industry, but they're not okay in any other space. I think that's totally wrong, right? And no one you shouldn't be profiling anyone, and there's no reasons for anything. Most of those reasons that would give is just, I just don't find them at all reasonable or acceptable.
Mitch, you have been in the locker rooms. You have been on the field. Can you give us insight into how comments like this, the ones made by the board, not just the original alleged slur, how they're understood by players? What impression does that leave on players?
You know, I sometimes feel like I nitpick it sometimes, and I'm like really asking too much of our industry. Mm. And in particular, the things that I wanted to really observe on Friday after all this news come out was what type of voices, who were the voices? And I know this is eventually the current men's players did speak out, but it took a long time. And that was noticeable. And I know sometimes I'm too harsh, but it was noticeable. And I'm like so thankful of Darcy Moore, so thankful of Max Gawn, of the two players that spoke out about it. Because if they didn't, then, you know, from someone that sits there and from someone that sat there whilst Adam Goods was ridiculed for pointing out racism, and no other player helped him except for his peers and in other First Nations players. That was just so disrespectful from our playing group. Mm. And you kind of sit there and go, well, no one else is talking about it. It's kind of, I think the public perception is kind of right. It's like the silence, and I've always been a big believer in this, when you don't say anything, when you remain silent, and the AFL has been guilty of this, and clubs have been guilty of this, of remaining silent on certain issues, what you are saying is you accept these behaviours. And, you know, for players that are sitting in locker rooms when no other player or their leaders, like, you know, the top players of the game, aren't saying anything, what it does say internally, it was like, we kind of accept these reasons. Mm. And I know that's harsh, but remember, you know, these are the human psyche of these players. So I'm thankful that, yeah, these two players did speak out. But, you know, it was only two players.
We'll be right back.